Good morning, everybody. We need to get started. So if you could find your seats, that'd be great. We have quite a few things to go through this morning and to do. But I just want to, we'll start by welcoming everybody. And the last time I was with you, we talked about being a friend of God, having the mind of Christ, that we're his temple, his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he had created for us in advance. We're established in all righteousness, and we're far from oppression. We have an abundance of grace, and we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. And when we did our breakout groups and shared together, we were able to just talk about what it looked like with us walking and talking in the Holy Spirit. And we had some good sharing going on about what was happening in people's lives. So that was really exciting. It was kind of fun to hear all that, reminding ourselves that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I'll say, what happens when you lose your voice 1 week and then you have to re-go through your notes again and God downloads something absolutely that even makes it go beyond what you even thought it was going to happen. So that's what's happening today. So this week, we're going to continue on with God's plan for our life and what he's called. And so in 1 Peter 2 and 9, it reminds us that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, and that you may declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Out of darkness. And this whole world that we're seeing is darkness. We're not a part. We're the light. But then in verse 11 and 12, it says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such a good life among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your good deeds and they'll glorify God in the days of his beginning." Peter urges us to live such holy lives that no one's accusations will stand against us, that God will always be glorified because of the goodness that we do. And so when the lies of the enemy are coming against us, we're like, no, that's not God, because that's not who he says. You don't get to wage war against my soul. And we're going to come back to that war thought in a bit. Then if you want to turn to 2 Timothy 1:7, my translation will probably be different than yours, but it's this word of God. "For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline." And then Paul, in his letter to the Colossian church, really turn to this one. Go to, if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Colossians, because we're going to read 9 and 11, and we're going to come back to that several times. "For this reason, from the day we heard about you, we have never stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with knowledge, with his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience." So this letter to Colossians was written by Paul and Timothy. He puts that, "from your brothers, Paul and Timothy." And he addresses them, this is the best part, he addresses them, "As soon as we heard about your fellowship in Colossae, we started praying. As soon as we knew they were believers, we started to stand in the gap and we started to pray." And they were not just praying that, oh, God keep them and protect them. No, they were praying for God to fill them with knowledge, that they would have God's wisdom, that they would have his understanding that only comes through the Holy Spirit. And they prayed that they would live a life that was pleasing to God and that they would bear good fruit in all the work they've done. It wouldn't be for naught. That they would grow in the knowledge of God, be strengthened with all power, that they'd be patient and have endurance. When I reread that, I thought, oh, Father God, if we were only so faithful, if we were only so faithful, that we too would be able to pray for the ecclesia in our community, in our nation, in our province, praying for God's people. We know there's believers all over the church. But Paul and Timothy was like, man, if there's believers out there, we need to be praying for them. And it's like, yeah, because the war is being waged against our church, the called out ones, the believers. And it's not nothing new. It's not a new war. Look at how old that scripture is that Paul wrote. But we are called to do a good fight and to encourage the body of believers in our fellowship. And sometimes we think, well, how can we do that? But God never gives us anything to do without giving us the stuff to do it with. And so I'm reminded in Ephesians 6, 10 and 19, it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For you struggle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities and the powers of the dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after having done everything to stand, stand firm. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up your shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And with this in mind, be alert and keep on praying for God's people. Keep on praying for God's people. I have a little picture. I couldn't figure it. But it's the Roman gladiator, the Roman warrior. And in Jesus' time, and when Paul was writing, they were very familiar with seeing soldiers walking in their neighborhood up and down. They were cursed by them, actually. They were, in Christianity, it was brutal for them to be having that. And so let's just look at a little bit about what this armor does for us. We just know that Jesus is our only provision. And so everything in this armor that it talks about is an important thing. And standing firm, buckled with truth, the belt of truth around our waist. Well, who is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what we need to have buckled around us. See that girds. And you know, really, without that belt, what happens to you? Your pants fall down. You need to be prepared and have that truth that nothing can drop off of you. Nothing's going to take that away from you. Like, no, I'm buckled. I can apply the truth of Christ. What he says, what we've talked about the last 3 weeks, who we are in Christ Jesus, those are truths. Those are foundational things for us to be able to walk, to be able to know, to be able to trust him. So keeping on that belt, tight, 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 tight. We have a breastplate of righteousness. And you know, in the Romans soldiers' army, it not only covered his torso, but it covered his back. He was totally covered. It had straps on here and covered you. And, of course, it would be intricate, but it was righteousness. And breastplate, that armor plate, it protected our most vital organ, our heart. And our innards, like, those are the things of us that were protected, those vital organs, with that breastplate of righteousness. And we have that righteousness. Where's our righteousness from? Christ Jesus. and what's established in our heart, right? We establish the truth of the word of God in our heart. The scripture tells us, out of our heart, the mouth speaks. So if you start hearing yourself speaking doubt, you're going to be like, uh-oh, I think my armor slipped a little bit because some little arrow touched me that's a lie, right? I need to get that truth in my heart, who I am. I am righteous. I am righteous and holy, and I am able to enter the throne room. We reviewed that the last couple of weeks. And then my shoes. Some of us girls really like our shoes. But you know what? The only ones we need, the readiness with the gospel of peace. And our feet, those are fitted shoes. These aren't shoes that are going to give you a blister because you walk too far. These are fitted shoes. And you know, when the Roman warrior shoes, like people say, they had those knobs kind of like, well, now we would use them for soccer or golf, right? Football, right? Those kind of, you had, so when you were standing, your foot's gripped into that. And so you've got your solid base of peace. Nothing's going to shake you. You're not falling off. You're not getting knocked over by any great wind or anything. You have secure footing. Sometimes we need secure footing more if you're going downhill than when you're trying to go uphill. And so it's really good that secure fitting on our shoes doesn't make us skid into some place we didn't want to be, right? We are able to get there and climb up, and that they're fitted tight on. The Roman soldiers in Jesus' time would have had kind of more of a gladiator boot than just a sandal, but they were still hobnob and they were fitted, and unfortunately theirs didn't bring the kind of peace that we're bringing, that we're taking and sharing with everybody. And then the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith. You know, the Roman warriors were measured. Because we even know from the Old Testament with David and Goliath, or as Saul, when Saul offered David his armor, and it's like, yeah, I can't use your armor. Like, your armor is built for this great big man. And like the armor, those soldiers would have the armor that fit them. So if they were 8 feet tall, their armor fit, protected, and for all the way down. So the fiery darts, they would be able to use that. And usually in that wartime, or when they were fighting and being attacked, it was archers that were trained to shoot fiery darts at those people, and they would need to shield them. But one of the biggest things that they were able to do with their shields was they would line up shoulder to shoulder with your shield. Now you're a force to be reckoned with. Now there's strength in numbers. You know, and Paul knew this, as a Roman soldier never was able to retreat. If he retreated, it was death, because he failed to do what he was told to do as a soldier in the army. So it was a strength. And so they stayed in numbers, and they continued to advance despite all the arrows and all that was coming, until someone higher up said, draw back or stop or whatever. Otherwise, you were to go forward. And it's like us. We're to go forward with our walk as that army. And the way we can advance safely is when we're standing together and we're marching forward, advancing for the kingdom of God. And so it's great in this little congregation that we see that. But how many congregations are there in Camrose that we want to be standing shield to shield, advancing for the kingdom, carrying on? And then one of the very most important parts is, of course, the helmet of salvation. You need that helmet to protect your head, because what's in our mind, and what did we learn? We have the mind of who? Christ. I have the mind of Christ. And I have that helmet of salvation, so I am protected. So the enemy might try to put a thought there, but because I have the mind of Christ, because I'm established in the Word of God, I know that that it's not going to penetrate. It'll be safe. I mean, nowadays, you can't even go ride a bike without a helmet. It's like, our heads are important. Like, thinking that and being safe is an important, important thing. Did I get all my things? Oh, I missed my most important one. You all have a sword. And the Roman soldiers, they would have a long sword if they were out in battle, but for most part, they wore a dagger, a long dagger, strapped to their belt. And so it was a smaller sword. And for it to be effective, you had to get close to the enemy to be able to stab them out and to get rid of them. And that's part of us. If we're always trying to flee or not be apart, sometimes we're going to be up close and uncomfortable. But it was the word of God. We still remember when after Jesus was baptized and went into the wilderness and Satan came to tempt him. And the very thing that Jesus used to rebuke Satan each time was, "It is written. It is written. It is written." He quotes the same word of God that is the sword of the Spirit that we have today. He even used that. And so to know, it's pretty hard to wield that weapon if you don't know the word. And that's where we need to be diligent in applying these things of truth around our waist. Having the truth of who you are, the truth of what the word of God says, the truth that we're victors, that Jesus has won it all. Everything's coming. We know that through scripture, I should have wrote these out for you, because in scripture we know Satan's defeated. We know that he has limited power, that we know he's been trying to work from the fall of man, but we have examples of battles that each time are won, that Jesus has given a victory. We have spiritual weapons, all of this army. When you look at the armor that we have, excuse me, when we have the truth and the breastplate, the shoes, the shield, the helmet, those are defensive. Those are things to keep us. They keep us safe. But the sword, that's on the offense. That's the one that we get to stick it forward and do it. That's using that sword. So not only is he given us armor that keeps us safe, knowing that we're in the battle, but also he gave us work to do, being able to fight that battle. So traditionally, we're not in the war like we see all the countries in the war, but there is a war. And so it just came to me when we were praying and doing this, and even the last verse in Ephesians, 6, it says, and we have all the six things of our armor, but there's a seventh one. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. That's part of your armor. With this in mind and being alert, always keep on praying for God's people. Always keep on praying for God's people. So this morning, because we have some extra time, we are going to pray for God's people. And I want us to be in four groups. I know, my husband didn't want to be in groups, but I didn't write anything down, so this will be much simpler. So if you can divide into four groups, and I'm going to give you your area. A few years ago, God showed me that my area to pray for, and I've been pretty faithful in it, was a 50 kilometer radius from this dot from Camrose, was to pray for Christians and praying for the church and the people. And so I got a little map and I drew it all around, and it was surprising how far that went. And it went all the way out to Hobima. It went into touch part of Pinoca and the county, and then Lacombe and Bashaw and toward Dinelda and out past Daysland and Heisler, and then all the way up to past Tofield and up by Riley and around to New Sarepta and then out darn near to Meeting Creek out or to Millet, all that way. And it was all that area to pray for. And it was interesting that in that area, there are so many believers. We have, this morning, we have people in three reserves praying, Christians praying for something to change over there. We have Hutterite colonies all across. There's about six different Hutterite colonies all in that area. They are believers. They may not walk and do, but they believe in being born again. They believe in it. And they need us to pray exactly what Paul and Timothy prayed in Colossians. Not about that we'll be kept in this time, but we're in a crazy, crazy time. So if you turn to Colossians again, verse 1, or chapter 1, I mean, this is what I want us to pray for. So we need to get in your group, and then we are also going to, because it's a big area and it's lots to pray for, we're going to do north, south, east, and west. So each of you will be one direction. So when you get there, I'll give you your direction to pray. And you just trust God, pray in the Spirit. That's what he commanded us to do, praying in the Spirit, praying with your understanding, and touch as many of those bodies of Christ that you see with these things that Paul said, that they'd be filled with God's knowledge, that they'd have wisdom and understanding as the Spirit gives them. May they live a life worthy and pleasing to God, and with those churches and congregations bear much fruit, being strengthened in all power, having endurance and patience, and being joyful, thankful to God, qualified holy people for this kingdom, for this area. So are you able to do that this morning? We're able to change some things. This is our time of being shield to shield and covering it. And I don't want us to just stop praying today about this. I want us to be able to see change. Look at that little church in Wilhelmina. They are trying, in like anything, to keep that little space growing and growing. All of these little churches in the community, that little one in Dinelda, they're trying and trying to keep the word of God going and keep connected to believers. And we're going to stand with them as our country is warring up against Christianity and the truth of God. We're going to put on our armor and take that. And you know what? Some people I know physically think, oh, they put their armor on every day. That's good. But it's just knowing who you are, knowing that you walk in peace, that you have truth, you have righteousness, you have salvation. You might need to remind yourself of that every day. But let's get into our four groups. If someone has the word, oh, darn it, I never gave you this declaration. I'll count that out too. We're going to end with that, so. We'll end with that. I'll join those guys, just so we can do it. Okay, so let's just do it. Wendell Brown, your table's for the north. Wendell Mullet, you're praying for the south. Krista, you guys are praying for the east, and you guys are praying for the west. So everything, Crystal is west. West is like, west goes towards Wetaskiwin and BC. North goes towards Tofield, Edmonton. South is going down to Bashaw. East is going to Day's Land and Heisler, that area. So, but do your circle and pray for all of those places. Colossians 1, yep, I'll bring it. But even if you get a specific place, and if you get another word, add it. But let's just cover this space in Alberta. Oh, you can join here too, that's good. I'll just come with you guys. So are we all done? Or did I interrupt someone's prayer time? Are we done? I hope you felt a victory this morning, working as God's army. In 2 Timothy, It talks about us being going forth as the great army of God. That's the old song, Onward Christian Soldiers. That was a scripture that inspired that man to write that song years ago, Onward Christian Soldiers. But I just want to encourage us to soldier on in the army of God. We're not just the body of Christ, but we're his army as well. And so you've got your little handout, and let's just do this declaration before we have to stop here. And I'll pray after. So, the blessing of God is upon my life. I'm surrounded with favor as with a shield. No weapon formed against me will prosper. My righteousness is in Christ Jesus. I have his name, his spirit, his promises, his blood, his covenant. Oh, his promises twice must have been important. His words, his love, his favor, his kingdom, because I am an overcomer. So let's just pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for your truth that will be established in our heart. We continue to commit our walk with you, Lord. Strengthen us each day, Lord, that we indeed are a part of a mighty army bringing forth your word. But more than anything, Father, we pray for your freedom to be able to preach the gospel in our land. Lord, that we are able to share the truth of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. And we just thank you and praise you for that. We bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.